We would pay, of course, I say. Dr. Van Ripple's eyes glimmer with interest.
Ah, yes. Well, I could perhaps be convinced to aid ladies in need for a modest sum.
How modest? Felicity asks. Miss Worthington, I say through a forced smile, I am quite sure Dr. Van Ripple will treat us fairly. We should hate to offend.
No offence taken, the old man says. Now, how might an old magician be of assistance to two such lovely young ladies?
He asks, all smiles. We wondered if you might tell us more about Wilhelmina Wyatt, I say. Dr. Van Ripple frowns.
I don't see how I can be of help in that regard.
I'm sure you can be of great help, I say sweetly. I hold up my coin purse, and Dr. Van Ripple's lips curl into a smile once more. We agree upon a fee, and though it is more than I wish to pay, it is the only way the bargain shall be struck. Dr. Van Ripple pockets the coins at once. I half expect him to test their worth between his teeth.
Did Miss Wyatt have a dagger in her possession? Felicity blurts out, much to my chagrin.
Not that I recall, and certainly one would recall such a weapon.
Dr. Van Ripple strokes his beard, thinking. Does the phrase, the key holds the truth, mean anything to you? I ask. Dr. Van Ripple purses his lips, thinks some more.
I'm afraid not.
Did she ever make mention of a key, any key that was special to her? Felicity presses.
No, no,
the doctor answers. Did she leave anything behind? I ask, but my hopes are fading fast.
A few of her dresses remained at the hall, and those I sold. I kept only one of her possessions, the slate.
Might we see it? I plead. Dr. Van Ripple rifles through a cupboard and comes back with the slate I've seen in my dreams and visions, and my excitement grows. The slate is of a good size, perhaps a foot tall by a foot wide, and it rests upon a wooden base. My fingers trace over the board, feeling the marks grooved into it from use. May we purchase this from you? I ask, emboldened. He shakes his head.
Dear me, it has such sentimental value that I couldn't possibly.
How much? Felicity interrupts.
Perhaps £5, he suggests.
£5, Felicity gasps.
Four,
he counters. It doesn't matter whether it's four or five. We haven't got it. Or do we? I wave my hand over my coin purse. I know I shall hate myself for this later, but that is later. Here you are, sir, I say, opening my purse and counting out £4 to Fee's astonishment. She takes the slate from the magician. Dr. Van Ripple, I say, you said that Wilhelmina had been in contact with a sister, a friend, whom she no longer trusted. Are you certain you can't recall her name? He shakes his head.
As I said, I was never introduced. The lady never came round, and as far as I know, she did not attend our shows. I only know that Wilhelmina feared her, and Mina did not fear much.
A cold shiver speeds up my spine. Thank you for your time, Dr. Van Ripple, I say, and he sees us out. At the door, he reaches behind Felicity's ear and produces a perfect red rose, which he hands to her.
I understand thou art Mr. Wilde's favourite.
I will not have it, then, Felicity says rudely.
Judge not, lest ye be judged, my dear,
Dr. Van Ripple says with a sad smile, and Fee's cheeks burn. However did you do that? I ask him, for I find the trick merry, even if Fee doesn't.
In truth, it is the simplest act in the world. The trick works because you wish it to. You must remember, my dear lady, the most important rule of any successful illusion. First, the people must want to believe in it.
I cannot believe he asked £5 for this, Felicity clucks as we cloak ourselves in the gloom of London streets again. Well, let's hope he spends it quickly before it disappears, I say. Under the narrow glow of a street lamp, we examine the slate, turning it this way and that, but there's nothing unusual about it that we can see.
Perhaps words will etch themselves as we watch, Felicity says.
It's ridiculous, but we watch it anyway. Absolutely nothing happens. I sigh. We've bought ourselves a useless slate.
But it's a clean slate,
Felicity quips, and I can't even be troubled to give her a roll of my eyes. On our way to the London Underground, we pass the striking ladies from Bearden's Bonnets Factory. Their faces are long. They lean into one another, resting their protest signs against their skirts, while passers-by pay no attention to their plight, or at the worst, heckle them, calling them the most appalling names.
Spare a copper for our cause,
the girl with the coin cup asks, her voice weary. I can spare more than that, I say. I reach into my purse and give her what real coins I have, and then I press my hand to hers and whisper, Don't give up, watching the magic spark in her eyes. The tragedy of the Bearden's Bonnet Factory, she shouts, a fire catching. 6 souls murdered for profit. Will you let it stand, sir? Will you look away, mum? Her sisters in arms raise their placards again. Fair wages, fair treatment, they call. Justice! Their voices swell into a chorus that thunders through the dark London streets until it can no longer be ignored.